Let's take our Bibles to two places this morning, Matthew chapter 16 and Ephesians chapter 5. We're preaching a series, don't have too many weeks left, but preaching a series about why we believe what we believe. And I hope that your brain and your heart is never in neutral about the things of God, that you know, you don't just believe something, but you know why you believe it. And that's why we've been going through this study together. And this morning, I'm preaching on why we believe in the church. And we're living in a day where more and more people don't believe in church. They just say, well, I believe in God, and so I can do that away from church. And I believe in the Bible, so I can have a Bible. And the church, you know, is the church, but it's not that important to me. But the Scripture says otherwise. So now I know you're in church this morning. People said don't preach to the choir. But really, just because you're in church this morning doesn't mean that down deep in your soul there's a conviction about God's church. And that's what I want you to see this morning and have in your heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, Matthew 16, 18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that means that Jesus Christ is not only built his church, and that is, it's his church, but that there's a battle. That means the gates of hell are against the church, not just against you individually, but against the church. But I'm glad that Jesus already gave us the promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, because he built it. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, you should know the verses, but he says in Ephesians 5 and verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. The first reason I would say that we believe in the church is because, number one, it means so much to Jesus. You know, I would say this, you know, whatever means a lot to Jesus ought to mean a whole lot to me. If he doesn't like it, then I shouldn't like it. If he loves it, I ought to love it. And the Bible says this in these verses of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 25, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. That means the Lord put a very high price, very high value, to give his own life for the church, that he loved, the Bible says, he loved the church, and he gave himself for the church. He also says in verse number 29 that the Lord nourisheth and cherisheth the church. The church means so much to Jesus Christ that he left heaven's world and came down here, not just to die for sinners, but to establish a church, a group of people called out by his name, a different people, and he loves the church. I ask you this morning, do you love the church? Do you believe in the church because it's so close to the heart of God? What is close to your heart this morning? What do you love? What do you cherish? What are you interested in above all things this morning? What's close? You say, well, you know, my family's close to my heart. And that's good. That's wonderful. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, what's close to his heart is his family. You know, you've got a bigger family than just who you're married to. You know, you've got a bigger family than just the kids that you have at your house. You know, this thing of Christianity puts us in a much bigger family, a whole different family. And the Bible lets us know, hey, this is God's family. We need to love it. We need to cherish it. Just like God loves and cherishes the church. Why do we believe in the church? Because if it was so important for Jesus Christ to give His life for the church, then it ought to be important to me in my life. I tell you this, I would say this without hesitation. I've not only given my life to Jesus, I've given my life to the church. And you know, that started a long time ago in my life. You know why? Because the Bible, we'll see it this morning, the Bible says the church is His body. I don't believe you can give yourself to Jesus Christ without giving yourself to His church, because the church is His body. You understand? So, you know, you say, well, preacher, you're a pastor, no wonder. Look, you know, my life has been for the cause and the edification and the help of the church long before I had a position or had a salary in church. I was taught from, you know, the little tyke that the church was supposed to be a central part in my life. Why? Because Jesus loved it. Jesus gave Himself for it. So I need to give my life for it as well. Amen. You know, in 1 John, he says this. He says that we ought to lay, listen, we ought. You know, a lot of times we don't do what we ought to do. But he says this in 1 John, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the church. Let me ask you a question. What would you put your life on hold for? I'm sure you would do it for your personal family at your house, your children. A lot of people put their lives on hold for their jobs. That means a lot to them, and they've got to keep all that going up. I'd say this. If the church doesn't mean more to you than your job, you've got a problem in your priorities. Right. I'm talking about if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, you know, you just need to get saved and get all that changed up in your heart, you see. Not just for life, but for eternity's sake. But what is so important to you? The Bible says we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You say, does that mean I'm supposed to die? Sometimes it just means what it says. You lay aside the life that you want to live for the sake of others, that your brethren, for the sake of the church. There is something bigger than the world than what's going on in your life. There's something more important in the plan of God for this world than whatever your plans are for your life. The plan that Jesus Christ has for the church is more important than any of our plans. Amen. So I lay down my life knowing that Christ's plan for this world is more important than my plan. Jesus said this. He says, I will build my church. You know what? That means that I ought to believe in the church because Jesus is building it. He loves it. Meant so much to Him that He's building it. And you know what I get to do if the church means a lot to me? I get to be co-laborers together with God. I get to work together with God. In your job or in your life, have you ever been involved in something that you just didn't get anywhere with it? You didn't really know what where's this going to end up? What's the purpose of all this? And is this just going to fall into nothingness and I've spent all my time and effort and at the end of the day, there's nothing to show, or at the end of all these years, there's nothing to show? You know, we're promised that Jesus is building His church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And if I can invest my life into the building and co-laboring together with God, because that foundation that no other can lay, which is Jesus Christ, and we're to build upon that foundation and we're to build in His church. Look, Jesus Christ is not building the United States of America. Jesus Christ is not building a political party. What Jesus Christ is building is His church. And I want to be involved in that work. Because nations will pass. Nations will go. Political parties will rise and fail. Families, individual families will grow and pass away. But the church, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Why do I believe in the church? Because it's something that's going to last. It's something that God is involved in. Have you ever looked at your life and said, you know, I don't really know if God's involved in this or not. I mean, I'm just being honest. Have you ever looked at some things going on in your life and said, man, you know, I don't know. A lot of times we say, well, surely God's involved in what I'm doing. Maybe He's not. You know what He's involved in doing in this world? Building His church. Amen. That's His priority. That's His work. That's His labor. And I tell you what, I want God to be involved in my business. Are you listening to me? I want God to be involved in my business. But how is He going to be involved in my business when my life is not involved in what He's building? Why do we believe in the church? Because it meant so much to Jesus that He laid down His life for it. It meant so much to Jesus that He's been spending His time building His church. Not just in His earthly life of when He was walking this planet, but He's been building His church ever since. You know, today there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians. I won't turn to it. In chapter 11, verse 22, the Bible says, "Despise ye the church of God." You know, a lot of people despise the church today. It's no big deal. They either despise or they ignore it. It's not important to them. You say, "Preacher, why don't you just preach about, you know, ignoring Jesus?" Because look. You know, probably one of the only things that's standing in your way between you and the devil chewing on your family is the church. If you don't believe that, just come by my office and I'll give you a list of about 20 families and 30, you know, just some odd people right down the list where when they got away from the church, the devil just destroyed their family. Don't despise. You know, some people would rather sleep in than go to church. Now, you're here this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm not preaching at you. But I tell you what, some people would rather feed their chickens than go to church. Some people would rather watch Netflix or the Super Bowl. Is that tonight? Okay, I don't know either. Give me a good punch this problem. I mean, to people, there are so many more things more important than the church in their lives. Not with Jesus. He gave Himself for it. He's building it. He says, don't despise it. We live in a day church attendance and the importance of churches goes farther and farther and farther and farther away. And so we have a society that gets farther and farther and farther and farther away from God. And we have a morality. You say, "Preacher, what has happened to our country? People have abandoned the church." Right. You say, "Well, no, they can leave churches and not leave God." That's not the record I get in the Bible. That's not the understanding I get from the Scripture. We ought to believe in the church because it's what Jesus is building. We ought not ignore it. I tell you what, the way I was raised, thank God I was raised that I ought to believe in the church because it meant so much to Christ, and I just can't sit home and stay home and forget about it, not worry about it. It's something important in my life because it's important to Jesus. Why do we believe in the church? Do you believe in the church? Just when it's convenient, just when it's helpful to your life. You know, turn to Hebrews 10 real quick. You know, there's only one thing in the whole, all the epistles from Acts all the way to the book of Revelation. Now listen to this. From the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, all the way to the end of the Bible, the Holy Ghost tells us not to forsake one thing. Now you know, you stop and just think about that just for a minute. From the Acts chapter 1 all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, the end of the Bible, God, the Holy Ghost says, if you're saved, don't forsake one thing. I'd say that would make it pretty important. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forsake the church. You need to be there. And the worse the world gets, and the more evil society is, and the closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, it will be more important for you to do that so much the more. Don't forsake it, he said. Now, we live in a day where people go to church on the internet. That ain't going to church. That's not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So the first thing I say to you this morning, why do we believe in the church? Because it means so much to Jesus. Secondly, would you go to Revelation chapter 1? Why do we believe in the church? You know, sometimes people have thought, well, the preacher just wants you to come to church so he can pay the bills. That's just so far from the truth. Now, that could be somewhere. But I want you to come to church so your family can get the help of God. God needs some equal time in your brain. You hear what I'm saying? You have heard stuff all week long, and you need to go to a church where God can talk to you, where the Bible can talk to you, where the fellowship of the saints and the things of God can minister to your life. So important for you. Why? Number two, why do we believe in the church? Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 10. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Of course, this is Jesus. The first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and see it, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. This is appearance of the resurrected Christ. The Bible says in verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. 15, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. The Bible says in verse 13 that Jesus, this Son of Man, this resurrected Christ, is in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks. Those seven candlesticks are the seven churches of Asia. They also represent the church as a whole. Why do I believe in the church? I'll just be very frank with you. Because Jesus Christ is in the middle of the church.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is in the midst of it. I know about you, but I want to be where Jesus is. I mean, sometimes I go out in my backyard and I don't know if the Lord's there. There may be some crazy dog out there. I've seen the devil out there sometimes. Amen. Sometimes I go in my house and I look, wow, you know, it ought to be heaven on earth, but it ain't always heaven on earth, is it? Have you ever noticed sometimes that the presence of the Lord wasn't just what it should be in your home? Let me ask you, where you go to work? When you go to work, can you just not wait to get to work tomorrow because you know when you get there, Jesus is going to be there? Jesus doesn't promise to be at your workplace. He says, well, I tell you where I'll be. I'll be right in the midst of my church. You know what the great thing about that promise is? Some of these churches weren't all that great. Or as they said up in Virginia, not much punkin'. I don't really know what that means, but in other words, there's just not much to them. I mean, the church of the Laodicea. I mean, the Lord says, you just make me sick. But you make me sick, but I'm going to be in the middle of you. I mean, look at some of those churches, some of the sins they have. But Jesus said, I tell you what, the church means so much to me that I will be in the midst of the church. You can't say that about Walmart. You can't say that about Washington, D.C. You can't even say, look, Jesus promises to be in the midst of His church. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. The Bible further corroborates that for us. Why do I believe in the church? Because I want to be where Jesus is. Amen. And not just where He's at peripherally, but where He's in the middle of it. You understand? In the midst of it. He says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 17, we'll start reading. Matthew 18 verse 17. The Bible says this, Jesus says, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now stop just a minute now. Look at the great value that Jesus puts on the church. Jesus said, if somebody won't listen to the church, then they ought to be looked at as a heathen man. Did you see that in the Bible? What a high value and priority is on the church. The Bible says if you won't listen to the church, then you're just as good as a heathen individual. That's what Jesus said. Boy, I tell you what. Can you imagine if we applied that today to people's lives? Do you listen to the church? Are your ears open to what the church has to say? If not, the Bible says, you're not any better than a heathen individual. We walk on down this passage. Look at verse 20. The Bible says in verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name," look what Jesus says, "there am I in the midst of them." Why do I believe in the church? Because Jesus promised to be in the midst of us when we meet together. Now you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I don't see the Lord." Well, you may not see Him, but that doesn't mean He's not here. Somebody may come to church this morning and say, "Well, I don't really feel the Lord." Well, maybe your feelers broke. Right? I felt pretty good banging those cymbals while some of y'all were laughing at me. You say, "Why do you do that?" Because God likes it. And I know He's here, so I did it for Him. Maybe put a smile on His face, you see. You say, "Well, man, if I knew the Lord was here, I wouldn't go to sleep." If I knew the Lord was here, boy, I would just straighten up a little bit. Well, guess what? He is. He's not down at the football stadium. He's not in the middle of that. He may be 10,000 miles from your workplace. But He says, "I tell you what, if you people come together in my name as a part of my church, my body," He said, "I promise you when you get together, I'll be right there in the midst of you." You know what I believe? Right here this morning, Jesus is in the midst of us. And if you need to be saved, He can save you today because He's here. Now, we can't save you, but He can save you. If you're here this morning, you have some need in your life, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is in the midst of us and He can meet the need of your life. You just need to recognize Him. You need to come to Him. You need to listen to Him. He's promised to be here. Don't go by the sight of your eyes or the feeling of the carnal man. Jesus promised it. He keeps His promises. Amen. Why do I believe in the church? Because I need to get somewhere where Jesus is. He says, "I'll be in the midst of you." Even if it's not a great crowd of you. Amen. We go back in the prayer room on Wednesday nights. The ladies get aside, the men get aside. We get down, you know what? The Lord's right there. He's right there. He promises to be there. Oh, we believe in the church because we need the presence of God in our lives. We need to be wherever He is. And that Bible says in Ephesians 3:21, He says, "To Him, unto Him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world out in, amen." This God manifests His glory through the church. Would you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Why we believe in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We believe in the church because it meant so much to Jesus. We believe in the church because Jesus says He's in the midst of it. Before, now you're going to get ahead of me here with 1 Timothy chapter 3, but I'll give you the third one. You won't even have to turn to it because we've already read it. We believe in the church because Jesus says He's the head of it. Three times the Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. Twice in Ephesians and once in Colossians. You say, "Preacher, Preacher, you're the pastor." Well, I have the oversight, but I tell you who's the head. Before I ever walked out here, I was on my knees before the head of the church. I said, "Oh God, do you want to change anything? God, do you want anything different? How do you want this to be? Because this is your church. These are your people. This is your word. These are people that need your help, oh God. Jesus is the head of the church. And I want to be a part of anything that He's running, amen." He's not the head of America. He's not the head of a lot of people's lives, but He's the head of the church. And I believe in it. If He's running it, it's all right. If He's running it, it's going to succeed. If He's running it, there's victory there. And if He's running it, I need to be a part of it, you see. That's why I believe in the church. You tell me something else that Jesus is the head of. He's not even the head of your home, some of you. Because, you know, we men, we got the Bible verse that tells us that we're the head of the wife, right? Right? Come on now, come here. The husband's the head of the wife. I'm the head of my house. That's good. That's right. That's the way God ordained it. But I guarantee you, you can make a lot of mistakes in your house. You know what I'm thankful? That God did not leave the structure and authority to the church to a man. The Pope's not the head of the church. There's not a pastor. The deacons aren't head of the church. The committees aren't head of the church. There's one head of the church, and it's Jesus Christ. And His Word is the law. And His Spirit should have prevailing decisions, you see. Then, fourthly, why do we believe in the church? 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, I believe you're already there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The Bible tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. So how can you have a proper relationship with the truth if you don't have a proper relationship with the church, if the church is the pillar and ground of the truth? You say, preacher, well, Jesus is the truth. He is. But the monument to Jesus is the church. The manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ and His will and His word and His message is seen through the church. He said, preacher, well, the Bible. The Bible is the truth. It is the truth. But the church is the pillar of the truth. The church is what is raised up for men to see. As they can see the things of the truth being manifested and lived out, you see. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's where the truth is taught. It should be. Now, some of these places that have the name church on it are no more than church in a doghouse. Amen. You can go to a doghouse and hang a church sign on it, but that don't mean it's a church. You see, a church is a place where there are believers, where the people that are born again into the family of God, and it's all organized under the precepts of the Word of God. And our job is to teach this Bible. We teach this Bible, amen, to the little tiny tykes. All the way up. Our job, our purpose here is not to come and just have a show. I mean, most of this religion today in America, it's just a show. It's just entertainment. It's just a broadcast, if you will. It's light, cameras, action. Put it on the camera. But that's not, the church is not entertainment. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth, where the truth will get stuck in your head and stuck in your heart, and by the grace of God, come out of your life, you see. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. You know, there's one other place where the Bible talked about a pillar and the house of God, just as it does in this verse. It says the house of God is the church of God, the church of the living God. The pillar and the ground of the, church, of the truth. That goes all the way back to Genesis 28. Remember Jacob? Jacob met God there alone that one night when he wrestled with God, and he met God. He said he saw God face to face, and he said, "I tell you what." He said, "This is the house of God." Now, why did he say it's the house of God? Because God's presence was there. You know, a house of God could be under a tree. Amen. When we talk about the church, we're not talking about a building. Amen. When I was a missionary over in Romania, we started a church in a gypsy village, and we went every week for a solid year on a Saturday. We had church, we had another church we started in the big city, but we traveled out to that little gypsy village and we preached. We preached out in the open air, and people came and they got saved. You say, what did you do? We baptized them. And what did you do? We started teaching them the Bible. What did you do? We organized them. But you know what? We're just under a tree. And for a solid year, now you may not believe this, but it's true. For a solid year, we went to the same time, met with those people for a solid year, out in the open air, no buildings, nothing. It never rained, and it never snowed for a year. And in Romania, that's a miracle. There's snow everywhere all the time. For a solid year, we met out in the tree, out under the trees. You know why? Because the church is not a building, you see. The church is the body of Christ, the body of believers, and it's manifested as His pillar. And Jacob said, this is the house of God. He was just out in the open air. There were no steeples. Amen. God forbid, but if one of those tornadoes come through here, like they do in Alabama and flatten everything here like a pancake, the church is still alive. The church is still together. It's not brick and mortar. But Jacob said, I'm out here in the open. There's nothing out here, but this is the house of God. And the Bible said he raised up a pillar. And that place where he raised up a pillar is where God made a promise to him, you see. The church is the place of the promises. It's a pillar that shows you the promises of God for your life. It's a place of protection. You know what else God showed Jacob there? He told Jacob right there what's called the house of God, which goes back to 1 Timothy 3. The house of God, where he raised up the pillar. God said to Jacob, I'll keep you. I'll protect you. Now, you may not believe this, but one of the safest things for your life and your family is staying where the pillar and the ground of the truth is.
Amen.
It's just safe, especially today. And the devil will chip away and work on you to the nth degree to get you away from the church, because there's safety in the house of God. There's the presence of God. There's the promises of God. The fear of God was there. All these elements worked together with Jacob, and he reared up a pillar there. You know what he said? He said, this is the gate of heaven. He said, I see a ladder and angels descending and descending upon that ladder. Only one of the places that found in all the Bible. We saw that when we were preaching verse by verse through John. Jesus said that the angels were ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You know why? Because Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way from earth to heaven, the earth to glory. He's the only ladder. You can't climb up any other way but through the door. And that's Jesus Christ. But you know what the church is? The church is a place where we take that gate of heaven and we offer it to the world. It's not us, but we, you see, we know about it. We know about that gate of heaven. We know about that ladder. And it's Christ, and we present Christ. That's why all these flags are up. Because the church is about showing the world the gate of heaven. The church is about showing the world how they can go from this world to the next world. And it's only through Jesus Christ. The emphasis. He says it's the pillar and ground of the truth. The Bible says that God set in the church apostles and prophets and teachers. God gave them to the church. You say, well, preacher, I can get that online. No, you can't. Look at Acts chapter 13. Boy, you got to say this because we live in a people say, well, I'll just have church in my house. No. In the Bible does talk about a church being in somebody's house, but he didn't talk about house churches. That's the difference. In other words, the early church, they didn't have any money, so they went and met at somebody's house. It had to be a pretty big house. But house church, these people say, well, I have a house church. Well, I ask the question, then who's the pastor? Because every church is supposed to have a pastor. If you have a house church, who are the deacons? Your kids? Now, this is important, guy. We're living in a day where more and more people say, I don't believe in organized religion. We're just going to, just my family and the Bible and God. You'll be as far away from God as people that never darken a page in the Bible. Who gives the communion in your house church? Who takes up the tithes? How are the missionaries sent out of the house church? And by the way, when somebody dies, make sure you go to the house church and get them to bury you. Right? It's like it was Billy Sunday. I forget which evangelist it was. Some drunk died, and they came and said, "Would you?" And the poor wife and kids, they came and said, "Would you please do the funeral?" He said, "No, I won't do the funeral." He said, "Let the bartender do the funeral." That's where he lived his life. That's where he kept his life. Look, you need more than the internet. You need a pastor. You need other brethren. And sometimes that's a little difficult because you have to get along with each other. But that's good for you. You need to minister to somebody else besides yourself. You need to prioritize somebody else's needs instead of your own. House church. Poppycock. Look at Acts 13. Acts 13 verse 1. Watch it. Now there were in the church. See that? There were in the church, it was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. You need the teaching that God gives through the church. Look at verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, notice the Holy Ghost is talking to these people in the church, not people outside of the church. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The great missionary ministry of the Apostle Paul, he was sent out of a church. He didn't just say, this is what I'm going to do. And he saw the Lord. Why do I believe in the church? Because it's the pillar and the ground of the truth that the Word of God is going to be sent out from. You see verse 3. They fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. They sent them away. This is the place where we're sending people out. We've sent our own missionaries out. We're supporting other missionaries. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. Where do you go? Where do you go to get the knowledge you need in your life? Most people go to Google or to YouTube, listen now, or they go to a friend or they go to a relative. But God says the information that I have for you in your life is going to come out of the church. And that's why you need the church. That's why you ought to believe in it. God have mercy on the Christian that gets his advice and counsel and words of knowledge from people that are not connected to the church. Because God speaks to his people through his church. Last thing, and I'm finished. Would you go to Acts chapter 11? Thank you for your attention this morning. We don't do this every week, but we going through things of why we believe what we believe. And I trust that every young person that comes and leaves this assembly understands the importance of the church, a Bible-believing church in their life. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, would you look at verse 26? And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and they assembled themselves and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now watch it now. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Preacher, why do we believe in the church? Because that's where the Christians are. Amen. The first reference of anybody being called a Christian was when the church was meeting and assembling and they stayed together for a whole year and people looked at them and saw them and they said, that's like Christ. Those are Christians. God's people, God's family, members of God's body. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And the Bible says that it's a spiritual thing. It goes far beyond just local. I can go halfway around the world and find my family and find brethren and find the church. He said in Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, every individual whose name is written in heaven, written in the book of life, is a part of God's church according to Hebrews 12:23. And that family and that close place, and as we assemble ourselves together, we have a witness to the world that God has a people in this world. I don't know about you, but if you name the name of Christ, the church identifies you of who you are and that you belong to Jesus. And you're a group of people that one day are going to leave this world and be called out of this world. And if we can't be called out of our homes and meet together, it's a picture that we can't be called out of this world together in the rapture one day when Christ comes. It's where the Christians are. It's where we sing together. It's where we sing to each other. You know, you need to sing to each other. Yeah. Amen. All this finagling stuff where, you know, they get up on the platform and do all the singing. No, Ephesians 5 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spirit songs. We need to sing to each other. That's what the church is. We need to pray together. The church assembled and prayed together. You've got needs. Look, we've had so many answers to prayer in this assembly, and we've gotten together and begged God for needs and certain things. You need people to pray with you and pray for you. And you need that book, and you need somebody to preach to you. Amen. You need your soul fed. And you need the Spirit of God to work in your heart. That's why we believe in the church. Are you a part of the church, which is His body? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? You're part of the family of God. If not, why don't you come just as you are and let God save your soul? Let God save your soul. Write your name in heaven. And He'll put you in a big family. A wonderful family. And if the devil's working on you to lessen the importance of the church in your mind, you need to get those thoughts out of your head, and you need to understand if we ever have lived in a day where we need a revival of commitment to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's today. If we've ever lived in a day where we need a revival of church meaning so much more to me, it's not 20 years ago. It's today.